Thank you for listening to the Bible Expositors Podcast with your host, Stephen Baker, taking you verse by verse through the Word of God from the pulpit of Harmony Baptist Church in Dalton, Georgia.
Looking forward to talking about that this morning. The title of the message this morning is Accountability in Grace Giving. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 16 through 24. Accountability in Grace Giving. And we'll look at that this morning. So, let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll begin. Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us be in this service this morning. I do pray now that you forgive me for my sins. I pray that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit as I preach, and these that are saved as they hear. We pray if anyone here is not saved, that you would convict them and save their souls this morning. Pray that you would prepare our hearts for this upcoming missions revival. For we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name above every name. Amen. By way of introduction to chapter 8, starting in verse 16, the Bible says, "But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. For indeed, he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward of his own accord, he went unto you." So, Paul had gotten a commitment from the Corinthians to give to the faith promise offering that he was taking up for the poor saints in Jerusalem. And this was a massive undertaking. A lot of churches were participating in this. And so he'd gotten a commitment from them, and it had been a year approximately since he got that commitment, and they hadn't followed through with their commitment. So Paul wanted Titus to exhort them to follow through with their commitment. But the Bible says, "For indeed he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward, being more diligent of his own accord, he went unto you." So Titus already had it in his mind that he was going to go and talk to them. So he went because Paul urged him, but also because he had it in his own mind. And he was diligent to do that, and he was urging them to follow through with the commitment that they had made a year before. Now, we oftentimes say you can't outgive God. And that's true. You can't outgive God. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and he owns the hills that the cattle are on. And so God has unlimited resources. Years ago, Pastor Mohan, I needed a car because I was spending a fortune keeping my car going. I kept buying these old cars that would break down, and they had high mileage on them and all that kind of stuff. And I said, "Well, I'm doing that because I don't have a lot of money, and so that's the most frugal way to handle things." And Pastor Mohan talked to me, and as a good friend, he said, "Why don't you get your wife a decent car?" And I said, "Well, you know, I don't have the money to get her a decent car." And he said, "But God does." And I said, "Well, yes, God does, but I don't." And about a week later, I was able to get her a good car, and so I went and told him, and he just laughed and said, "I told you that God has the resources." Now, when we talk about faith promise giving, these Corinthians had made a commitment, and the Corinthians were not poor people. They were kind of a wealthy church, and so they were able to follow through on their commitments, yet they had not done it. So Paul, as we studied last week, used the example of the Macedonian Christians. The Macedonian Christians, he said that they were deeply poor. And so that means they were really, really poor. And yet the Macedonian Christians had given. And Paul talked about how they gave by their means, and they gave beyond their means because they, before they ever gave one dime, they gave their own selves. They committed themselves. And so, when we come to today's chapter, we've got to keep in mind that, for our own sakes, that you cannot outgive God, that God is able to supply. And so, when we get to the chapter today, we see several things about accountability in grace giving. And we see that accountability in grace giving involves several things, and we're going to go over these things. Paul is handling this large offering, and he has people accusing him constantly because Paul had a lot of enemies. So he had people accusing him of mishandling money and mishandling other things. And so Paul wanted to make sure there was accountability built into handling this large offering. And so the pattern that he gives us for accountability in this chapter is good for this generation as well. It gives us a good level of accountability when we're dealing with handling missions offerings. And so I think you'll see that this pattern is followed in quite a few churches, and it'll be good for us as well. So we'll look at that. And the first thing we see as far as accountability and grace giving is accountability and grace giving involves a vote from the churches. A vote from the churches. Verse 18 says, "And we have sent with him," that is with Titus, "the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches." Now, I must say to you that no one knows who this brother was. People have guessed that it may have been Luke. Other people have guessed other things. But nobody really knows for sure. But we know that he was a well-known brother to the Corinthians, and he was also a trustworthy person. And Paul goes on to say in verse 19, "And not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us." So this brother was chosen of the churches to travel with them. Now the word chosen means, Thayer says, to vote by stretching out the hand. Literally the word means to stretch out the hand like you'd raise your hand. But it has the idea of voting. So what it's saying is the churches voted on this particular brother. Maybe it was Luke, maybe not, but they voted on this particular brother to travel with Paul and with the others to take the offering to the saints at Jerusalem. So what you see is the local church being involved in missions by voting. Now notice what they weren't voting on. They weren't voting on how much to give. We've already shown you from the Bible that what was given was up to the individuals in the church. Paul said, "Every man as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." So the church did not sit down in a business meeting and say, "We vote to give X amount of dollars out of the general budget." That's not what happened. In the Bible, in this missions offering, which is the example we have in the New Testament, they each purposed, every member of the church said, "This is how much I believe the Lord wants me to give to the faith promise offering that's going to be sent to Jerusalem, and this is how much I'm going to give." And so that's kind of the pattern that we've been introducing here, is that every member prays and they determine what they want to give, and then they just give, and that's between them and the Lord. All right? But what they did vote on was they did vote on the person that they were actually going to send to Jerusalem. In this case, to take the money to Jerusalem. They voted on that person. And for our own sakes, the way we would apply this to our church is if we take on individual missionaries, the church needs to vote on those individual missionaries if we take them on. We can't just have the deacons. Now, the deacons will meet together and discuss it, and I'll discuss it. But after that, the church has got to vote on it, because if the church doesn't vote on it, then it's not a decision of the church. Instead, it's a decision of just a few people. And if you make it a decision of the church and the church says, "We want to take on this particular missionary or these particular missionaries," then the whole church is behind those missionaries. The church knows the missionaries, they've met the missionaries, and the church has voted to take on those missionaries. And so we see that accountability in missions involves a vote of the churches. Now I want to read the bottom part of verse 19. And let me just start and read the whole verse again. And not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord and declaration of your ready mind. So what this is saying is that faith promise giving, faith promise missions giving is administered by us to the glory of the Lord. Faith promise giving glorifies the Lord. And it's a declaration of your ready mind. It also declares, this particular offering declared that what the Corinthians had said they were going to do, they were actually willing to do, and they actually did. And so, two things. It brings glory to God, and it declared their ready mind. And it does the same thing for us. So, accountability in grace giving involves not only a vote from the churches, but number two, it involves a voice against accusations. A voice against accusations. Now, remember that there were people that would have loved to have been able to accuse Paul of mishandling money. They would have loved to, because they were jealous of Paul. Really, the false teachers that had come from Jerusalem, because there were false teachers that came, oftentimes in Bible commentaries, they will be called Judaizers, and that is that they were Jewish teachers who wanted to come into the church. And normally what their main object was to get loyalty of wealthier members. And then with the loyalty of those wealthier members, they would try and get their money. And they would do that by saying, well, if you really want to follow Christ, and if you really want to be saved, and if you really want to live the Christian life, then you need to keep the Jewish ceremonial law. You need to keep those ceremonies. And the Judaizers didn't teach that you needed to offer animal sacrifices, because they taught that Jesus Christ was the Messiah who had been sacrificed. But they did teach that you needed to keep the dietary laws, that you needed to be circumcised, that you needed to keep the law of Moses, speaking primarily of the ceremonial law. And so these people would teach these things. They would get disciples away from Paul and away from the true apostles and teachers, and they would get disciples to themselves. And any time a person tries to get disciples to themselves, you can bet that some way money is involved, that they're trying to get to people's money. And that's what they were doing. And so Paul wanted to have a defense for himself against accusations of financial impropriety. And so, he says in verse 20, avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance which is administered by us. Paul said, we don't want anybody, we're administering an abundance of money. He's taking up offerings from a bunch of different churches, and the church at Jerusalem was huge, and there were a lot of people suffering, and so they were taking an abundance of money. And so he said, I don't want anybody to blame us in this abundance which is administered by us. And then he says in verse 21, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. You see, it's important. A lot of people will say, well, the Lord knows my heart. The Lord knows what I'm doing. But it's important when you're handling church finances and missions finances to not only have the Lord know what you're doing, but also to have other people know what you're doing, because that provides accountability. And there's a number of things in our lives where we need to have accountability. Providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. As you know, I work with teenagers, bad teenagers. And so one of the things that's been said to me when they find out I'm a pastor, especially some of the kids, have said to me in the past, oh, you must be rich then. You must drive a Bentley, and you must do this and that and live in a big mansion. You must be loaded. Now, why do they think that? Because their experience in church is seeing people on TV. And that's what they think that that pastors do. So when I go into explaining that I can't sign checks in the church, that we have steps to, we have business meetings, we show the budget, we vote on things, they can't believe it, that that's the way church actually works, that it doesn't work like the guys on TV that have billions of dollars and live in these colossal mansions and everything. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with having money. Not a thing in the world. But you've got to have accountability, and I think some things are inappropriate for a pastor just because it raises too many questions in a situation like that. So providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. Now, David Guzik says, also in the sight of men is a reminder that all things financial in the church should be conducted above board and properly. Paul took whatever steps were necessary so no one could blame him with financial impropriety. Paul could write like a poet and think like a theologian, but he could also act with the meticulous accuracy and integrity of the best accountant. So there must be accountability and grace giving. And it involves a vote from the churches, a voice against accusations, and finally, it involves a vision for teamwork. A vision for teamwork. Verse 22. And we have sent with them our brother. Again, we don't know who this brother is either, but he's a third brother that's going with Titus and possibly Luke. Some people think this might be Apollos, but we don't know. But we have sent with him them our brother, whom we have oftentimes proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent upon the great confidence which I have in you. So what we have here, Gill says, this is a third person sent about this business. The apostle in this conformed to the customs of the nation, the Jewish nation. It agrees with the Jewish canons, which require three persons for the distribution of alms. And then he quotes some Jewish authors. And the first one that he quotes says, the alms dish, they say, is by three, nor do they appoint overseers of it less than three. So the Jews would always have three people administering alms. Another Jewish writer that Gill quotes says, the poor's chest is collected by two, but distributed by three. And so there was accountability built in with teamwork, by having a team of people to do this. And incidentally, for instance, just this illustration comes to mind. When I was down in Peru, Brother Austin Gardner, who was my wife's pastor and who was responsible with the Lord's work of starting so many churches in Peru. I think they had 50 churches started by the time he left. And they had a Bible college and they had a television station and just a massive ministry down there. But he never traveled alone, ever. He always took a group of people with him. Nobody could ever accuse him of anything successfully. People tried, but they never could successfully because he always was surrounded by people. He always had students that he was training or other preachers he was traveling with. He never traveled anywhere by himself. And so what we have here in the Bible is a pattern for teamwork in the handling of missions money and in missions itself. Because Paul always traveled with a crowd. And we have sent them, back to verse 22, our brother, whom we have oftentimes proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent upon the great confidence which I have in you. Now, I just want to point this out. If you're using a more modern translation of the Bible, it probably does not say, upon the great confidence which I have in you. It probably says, as the MEV does, but now is much more diligent due to the great confidence which he has in you. And it doesn't matter which way it's translated, because the truth of the matter is that Paul had great confidence in the Corinthians, but so did Titus. Titus had great confidence in them as well. And so he's much more diligent due to the great confidence which he has in you. And obviously this gentleman who's going with Titus also has great confidence in them. Now, verse 23, whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you, or our brethren be inquired of, they are the messengers of the churches and the glory of Christ. So what you see here is that if any were to say, who are these people? Who are these people when they are traveling to Jerusalem and when they get to Jerusalem? And they were to say, who is Titus? Then Titus had a good recommendation. Paul said, you say, he is my partner and a fellow helper concerning you. Or if they inquire of the brothers that are traveling with Titus, they are the messengers of the churches and the glory of Christ. The word messengers means, according to Mounts, one sent as a messenger or agent, the bearer of a commission. And it is actually the same word that is translated apostle, because apostle means one who is sent. So these people that were traveling were not apostles in the sense of the Apostle Paul or the Apostle Peter or the Apostle John. They didn't have that particular office, but they were doing the work of an apostle by going and taking this money and taking care of it and taking it to the church in Jerusalem. And in a real sense, every missionary today that travels and starts churches and helps churches and whatnot is really doing the work of an apostle. What did Paul do as an apostle? He did a missionary's work. He traveled from country to country. He preached the gospel. He strengthened the churches. He helped the churches. And so that is an apostle's work. So while there are no more apostles in the sense of the official office or calling, those were done away. Paul was the last one. Yet people today carry out that same work as missionaries. And verse 24, wherefore show ye to them and before the churches the proof of your love and of our boasting on your behalf. So the important thing is that this work of missions giving, this work of accountability and missions giving is done before the churches. It wasn't something that was done secretly. It was something that was done openly before the churches. A.T. Robertson says, a great host is pictured as watching how the Corinthians will treat these duly accredited agents in the collection. That is, Titus and the other two brethren. So this great host of the churches is pictured as watching this, as seeing how they will be treated. So missions is to be done before the Lord and before the churches. It is an open process with financial accountability. And that's the way that we're to do it. So in conclusion, I just want to say that as you're praying about how you're going to participate, as you're praying about what will I give to the faith promise offering, as you're praying about that, then keep in mind that this is not like throwing money down a hole somewhere. This is investing money in the kingdom of God. And I know that everybody always accuses Baptists of preaching on two things, and that's money and hell. But it just so happens that these are the chapters we're in, and they involve a faith promise offering. And I'm not talking about money for myself. I'm not talking about even money for Harmony Baptist Church. I'm talking about money to support missions around the world. That's what we're talking about. And so we've got to make sure in the way that we do that, that it's an open process with financial accountability, where people can see our money's not just being thrown away, but it's being given to good people that are carrying out a good cause, that have accountability. That's why mission boards are important, because mission boards help to ensure that there's accountability in the way funds are handled. And that's why a good structure is important. That's why we need to vote on things. And that's why there needs to be a budget that's laid out so we can see this is what's going to missions, so that there's accountability and it's all done above board. So may I say, in conclusion, that if you're here and you're not saved, the whole purpose of missions, every dollar given, everything that's done for missions, the whole purpose is to see souls get saved and discipled. My friend, Pastor Mohan, was a little boy in India. He grew up in India, and a missionary, an Assemblies of God missionary, not a Baptist missionary, but an Assemblies of God missionary, went to India and started a church. And Brother Mohan went to church, and his dad was an alcoholic, and his entire family worshiped idols. And he went to church and he heard about Jesus Christ. And if I'm remembering correctly, his sister got saved first, and then he got saved. And then he came to the United States, and for 30-some-odd years, he's been pastoring a church that he started in Dalton, Georgia. And he was saved on the mission field through a missionary, and then he became a missionary to Whitfield County. And so, missions goes on and on. That's why it's so important that there's accountability in the way it's done, so that souls will be saved and churches will be started and the gospel will be preached. And so if you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord, the purpose of missions is that you hear the gospel. And the gospel is that Jesus Christ loves you. And even though you're a sinner, even though all of us are sinners and we deserve hell because of our sins, because the Bible says the wages of sin is death, yet Jesus Christ died for your sins on the cross. He was buried, and 3 days later He rose from the dead, and He will save your soul if you'll only come to Him in faith. The moment you believe in Him and receive Him into your life as your Savior, He will come in, He'll change your life, and He'll save your soul. So if you've never been saved, please talk to one of us about getting saved this morning. It won't cost you a dime to be saved, not one dime. Doesn't cost you anything to be saved. It'll cost you something to follow Christ, but to be saved, it's a free gift, but it costs Jesus everything. It cost Him His life. So you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and freely receive salvation this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for these Thy people. I thank You for the work You're doing in this house. I do pray that You would help us to maintain good financial accountability in our giving and in missions, and to pray about what we'll do personally and who this church will support. But I also pray that if there's anyone here that's not saved, that we would see the true purpose of missions fulfilled this morning, and that that person would come to You in faith and would be born again and saved from their sins. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.